Hallelujah.
Even to touch me, to strengthen me, to come alive in me. Lord, I have come to be blessed by your word today. Speak to me, O God. Let your name be glorified.
No one else can touch our lives like you do. I can search through all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. No one else can touch my life as you do. I can search through all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Father, we thank you because there is none like you. You are worthy of all praise and honor. And we glorify your name this morning because unto you all honor and praise belongs. Father, as we have come to learn at your feet this morning, speak to us, O God. Let the word of life that comes from the throne of heaven, let it come into our heart this morning to strengthen us, to build us, to chastise us, to rebuke us, to discipline us, to encourage us, so that we can know more and more the truth in the name of Jesus. Father, the word of life, O God, that you will give us this morning, Lord, let this not hinder us. Let this not be that which will condemn us on the end. Lord, we thank you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You're welcome today. Today's Sunday school, lesson 15 in the outline says, do not offer strange fire. Do not offer strange fire. Our primary goal is to understand what a strange fire is. And also, we want to understand what offering of that strange fire, what it's all about. Our text will be taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 10. And I've put some things on the slide for us to see a little bit of some of the images that this scripture is telling us about. Leviticus chapter 10, I read from verse 1. I will first read the first three. We'll talk about it a little bit, and then we go deeper into the understanding. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each of them took his own censer and put fire in it and put incense in it and then offered strange, in some other interpretations you see, unauthorized fire before the Lord, which God did not command. I'll read that again slowly because we must understand clearly. Remember, the topic is, do not offer strange fire. Aaron, the man of God, as chosen by God to be the priest that will, or high priest that will be serving in the ministry of Moses, had four sons. Do we know the names of the four sons of Aaron? Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. From this test, two of the sons of Aaron took each of them a censer. And if we scroll down a little bit on that screen, you will see the picture. Thank you very much, Mr. Technical. He's doing a great job there now. A censer, that is what a censer looks like. And if you go to most of the, maybe Catholic Church or whatever, they still use this. Leviticus chapter 10 is our test. Each one took his own censer and then put two things in there. One, fire. Two, incense. And then they went to offer offering before the Lord, which God did not command. The question here is it true that God did not command them to offer before him? What is strange about this offering? Let me read what happened to them. Verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They were serving in the house of God. They did some things that God actually asked them to do. But we want to see here, did they do exactly what God asked them to do? Today we are looking at, do not offer strange fire. For context, the entire book of Leviticus, in fact, the book Leviticus, if you read the meaning in Greek, it's or Hebrew, because Old Testament was in Hebrew. It's Levite and instructions concerning Levites. That's Leviticus, because it's Levite course. It's material or readings or instruction for the Levites. Who are the Levites? Levites are the chosen family to walk in the things concerning that of God, the tabernacle and the things. If we scroll down a little bit, I want to show us something. I know we might have been saying that before. This is the tabernacle, the structure of the tabernacle. Please, I want you to look at this with me, and I want to ask some fundamental questions about this. I'm not sure, I was not taught properly in Sunday school about this when I was growing up. The tabernacle, that was exactly what God told Moses to do every time so that people can come to worship. You see, the entire fence, not just anybody will get in there. In fact, you cannot get in there if you are not chosen as a priest. In fact, not just a priest, as an high priest. But then, you see some people are inside. Yes, only Levites and the chosen priests can get into the courtyard. If you want to go for atonement, you committed any sin. And if you look in the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, it was talking about if congregation commits sin, what should they do? They need to bring their offering, the type of offering. They will bring it at the courtyard gate, right in the gate in front. And then the priest will come and accept the offering, and then will proceed inside. If the ruler, the leader, commits sin, oh, you will bring a different type of offering, you bring it in here. If an high priest or a priest commits sin, have you ever thought about it? Let me give you a very graphic example for this church. If General Overseer commits sin, who is going to charge him, rebuke him, pray for him? There was instruction. Even if Aaron, the high priest, commits sin, there was a specific instruction. I say, if you commit any kind of sin, this is how you can only be forgiven or pardoned. And there are so many kinds of offerings. You'll see wave offering, you know, burnt offering, grain offering, all sort of them in the book of Leviticus talking about people that serve in the courtyard of God. Why was God particular about the instruction on how and what they should do? Leviticus chapter 9. I will read from verse 6. And Moses said to you, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do. He was speaking to Aaron. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. See, Moses said to Aaron, these are the things you should do, and then the glory of the Lord. In fact, every time we read in the scriptures that Moses will go and speak face to face with God, it was in the Holy of Holies. And you see, the Holy of Holies is the end. If you look at that picture, that is the last place anyone can get into. The last point, and there are some significant things about this picture, you know, but today I want us to a little bit focused, but at the same time, I feel a little bit compelled to talk about it. So the first thing you do when you bring your offering to the priest and it's accepted from the outside of the courtyard is they bring your offering to the altar of burnt offering. That's the first place, the altar. What happens to your offering? Romans chapter 12. Your offering must be consumed on the altar. Whatever you bring as an offering, it must be burnt on that altar first. After that, then there is a washing in a place next to it. It's called the laver bronze, where they wash. They do washing. There's a water there. So that priest himself must wash his hand. And if you notice, you know, like the Muslims do, they always wash hands and legs before they enter into the sanctuary. That's where they got that from. A priest cannot go in there without washing all his hands to the elbows and his legs and everything. You wash it many times. That was why Jesus was correcting them that it's not by physical washing that you can get cleansed. And then you go into the incense altar. That is where you actually use that censer. And then you go into the altar of the lampstand. We have 7 candles on it. And if you read the book of Leviticus, Moses, God told him and said, let the lamp continually burn day and night, and there is no way that light must go off. So the priests that are working there, they have to be constantly observant. Do you know in December here in America and some places in the world, they celebrate Hanukkah? Yes? Just like the Christmas time, some people celebrate. Hanukkah was actually a celebration of when the temple was destroyed. That golden lamp that was in the temple, the lamp was still on for 7 days. And that was well after the old destruction, they still saw the lamp and people still believed and said, oh, there is God. For this lamp not to die by itself, and then they said, oh, that's Hanukkah. You know, but today you can't even get to understand what it is. You just know that some people celebrate Hanukkah. And then the only person that can enter into the Holy of Holies is the high priest. And he must go with chains tied to his leg. Because in there, you have the box that has 2 cherubims on top of it. And there is a bread. You know, when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, a lot of people don't understand exactly what he's saying. You have to get into the Holy of Holies to see the bread. They call it the show bread. That was the bread that David had to go and eat when he was running away from Saul and everything. He got to that city. And there was one thing else. There is something eventually they put there, the rod of Aaron. They put it in that place. In that Holy of Holies, no one else can go there. And even the high priest can only enter there once a year. Hebrews chapter 5. To make atonement for himself and then for the people. So here you see the consecration and the arrangement of this. In fact, it got to a time that God actually said, take the camp outside of the people because the people were too filthy. They get things start happening among the people. People just said, God asked Moses, take the camp outside. That's why they now turn it to a tabernacle of congregation. Because that's only time Moses will go there. And when Moses is coming back out, they say, oh, his face is always shining. And Joshua was constantly beside him. He would stand by this door day and night. In fact, he would not leave. That was how Joshua became the next in line, because he was constantly standing by this door. Constantly. Remember, we're always trying to look at, do not offer strange fire. So now, Moses said, Aaron, this is what God has commanded. And then the glory of God will appear. Leviticus 9, verse 7 now. Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar. So you know where he's talking about now. Go to that first altar. Offer your sin offering. Your own sin offering. And your burnt offering. And make an atonement for yourself and for the people. And make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And then Aaron went to the altar, slew the calf of the sin offering for himself And the sons of Aaron brought the blood. You see, the sons of Aaron were not supposed to go all the way in. You can remember that the only place you can use the incense is when you get into the holies. You're getting closer to the Holy of Holies. The scripture says that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. The veil that covered the Holy of Holies from any other person to see it was torn. He said we can now enter into the most holy place where we can obtain mercy. Because really, the box at the other end of it is called the mercy tabernacle or the mercy table. That's where if everything cannot work, the high priest will have to go and lie down there and say, please, Lord, have mercy. Only place they do the prayers. In fact, when the people murmured and murmured, Aaron and Moses had to go into the Holy of Holies and they laid there from morning to evening. Now, then God spoke to them. Some people thought, Moses just asked and God answered. Sometimes he will ask for a long time before God will even respond. So you see that the sons of Aaron were supposed to bring the animal from outside the courtyard inside and offer it on the burnt offering. And then they take the kidney of it and the liver, verse 10, and the flesh they shall burn without the camp. You see, verse 11 says, they will burn the flesh not inside, but outside that thing. And they will present it and they wash themselves, their legs. See, verse 14 was what I was talking about. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 14. And he washed the inwards and the legs and burned them upon the burnt offering on the altar. So every other thing is done right in there. Now, let's see. But something happened. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, took censer, put fire in it, put incense in it, and offered something before the Lord that God did not authorize. Oh, how can we understand that? Exodus chapter 30, verse 9. Exodus 30, verse 9.
Exodus chapter...
Yes, please.
Exodus chapter 30, verse 9.
Yes.
Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering. And do not pour a drink offering on it.
Verse 10.
Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement.
Once a year, Aaron, the high priest, shall make an atonement.
On its horn. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering.
Yes.
For the generations to come.
Yes.
It is most holy to the Lord.
It is most holy unto the Lord. Aaron can only come once a year. And it says, don't bring strange incense. If you go to some part of the country or the world, incense has always been the tradition. There is no canned perfume that time. The only way you can actually create a very sweet aroma is to kind of burn materials. You know, some people that are used to some, you know, there are some incenses of different colors, of different fragrances. You put fire in it, and they'll keep burning down little by little, and they'll fill the room. That's how you can. Today, we just buy Glade. Just press it. Now, because we have invented cans and gas and all kinds of things to make it, that time there was nothing. Incense was it. However, God specifically gave Moses the recipe. This is the only type of ingredient you use to make the incense that you put here and there. And then he said, do not offer strange incense. However, Nadab and Abihu took their walk a little bit closer. Put in whatever they thought was right. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they knew. And then God reacted immediately. Leviticus 10:2. And there went out fire from the Lord and killed them. And they died before the Lord. Okay, quickly. I want us to get into understanding this. What is called strange fire here is an unauthorized fire. Something that you offer. Okay, how can this happen? Number one, Remember, it must be an offering. You must be presenting something that God has told you specifically how to present it before it becomes an offering. Yes? Two, when you alter what you present before God, then it's unauthorized. Example, we all know, and we're going to probably ask a question. Examples of things not authorized is, if you mess with your tithe, if you don't want to give at all, it's okay. Well, when I say okay, I put permission on that okay. But if you bring 1/7 or 1/20 and say, this is my tithe, then you are already bringing strange things before the Lord. And we're going to see a contra example in the book of Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira, they said, we have sold our properties and we are offering it for God's use. And then the man of God said, the Spirit of God tells me you have done an evil thing. When you had your property, was it not yours? Why do you have to come and twist the numbers and say, this is it? You could have kept it by yourself, but you have brought this. And what happened? Suddenly, they died. Every person before the Lord, if you clearly understand the work of God, the word of God concerning your life, and God is placing a demand upon you, if you begin to mix things up and offer it unto God, that is strange fire. I start with, say I'm in the choir. My body should be an offering. Remember, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for that is your reasonable service. And then, part of my body, I use it in all kinds of things. I abuse my body. I do whatever I want to do. But because I'm gifted, because the gift of God is without repentance, I will not come to church after I've used the same body to do all kinds of evil things and say, I want to use this to offer unto God. Because the Bible says, this body is the temple of God. So when you now come to offer unto God with that, what does God see? A strange smelling incense. And God is very quick at smelling things. Because the Bible says when we offer to God, it's like an aroma when we pray. It smells your prayer. It smells your praise. That was what happened to the offering of Cain and Abel. He said, I can sense it. That you are offering unto me and something that has bad blood. How do we offer strange things, strange fire? God sees and understands our situations. God has instructions as to what we should do. The moment we understand what we're supposed to do and we refuse or we not do it, not, in fact, ultimately it's all about, are you willing to be 100% obedient to God or not? In fact, there are interpretations of these, you know, but time will not permit us to go through. If we scroll down, I put one or two pictures to explain what it means in the New Testament, actually. You know, because all these things have, they're symbolic in the Old Testament. Bible says the Old Testament is the shadow of that which is new. Just scroll down a little bit and you'll get us to the next screen. If you can get there. Yes. So you see, where you bring your offering, whatsoever you need. And let me ask this question. In the Old Testament, when you commit sin and you want to go for forgiveness, do you know that the role of a priest, priests have very specific responsibilities. Number one, they're the ones that will look at you and ask you, what is it that you have done? And they say, because of this you're sin, what is it that you do? What's your income? And say, okay, now your penalty before God is to offer this. Sometimes if you are not rich, they will ask you to go and bring dove. If you are rich, you go and bring lamb. If you are not rich or your sin is different, they will ask you to bring this type of offering. If you are not, they will give you another. The role is also to look at you and tell you now you are clean or not. Remember the leprous man, you know, the Bible said, now you are clean. Jesus told him you are clean, but go to the priest so that they can certify you, because the priest will look at you and say, your sins are forgiven and everything is, now you are declared clean. Whenever we understand clearly the instruction of God. And then God is demanding that we offer unto him, we have to be careful. Otherwise, you know, sometimes we look at it, why will God? Someone can do all the things and reduce something out of what God is expecting him to give. And yet, God will punish him and people will say, this man has been man of God for a long year. This woman has been woman of God for a long year. But we don't understand why some things are happening. There is no, do you know, no one knew why Saul was removed as a king, except for scripture that explained to us the back information. Because everybody will be thinking, didn't God see him before he told Samuel to go anoint him? The guy was not looking or contending to be a king. He was looking for a lost donkey. So why would God now say, I just remove you suddenly? Because no one saw that. But God said, because you have not completely honored me with what I have given you. I asked you to do something and you thought, I'm going to just do a little bit of it. That looks like a simple thing. The same thing was what happened to Moses. You would say Moses was, of all people, I think Moses was an honest man. For 40 years, you're serving and working for God in the wilderness without paycheck, without any insurance or policy, without any compensation for your family. Have you ever asked where was Moses' wife for 40 years while he was leading people in the wilderness? Who was training his children? You know, Moses had not just one, not just two children. He had quite a number of them. So who was taking care of the children? Until Jethro, of course, we know that he got married there, right? Said, you will kill yourself and these people because this man will sit down from morning to evening solving problems. But you know what? God was very particular about the assignment. And the moment, somehow, he was tripped by the people, God told him after he got instruction from the tabernacle, just go talk to the rock and the water will come. Moses made this slight mistake. I would say it's a very minor mistake. He said, you people, you have been rebellious. Shall we make water to come out of the rock for you? And now we shall make the water to come out of the rock. And then he hid it. And God said, God did not complain at that moment. God let the water come out. The miracle still happened. And then God called him aside and said, by the way, officer Moses, because you have not honored me before these people. Well, did the people know that God asked him to do that? They didn't even know. So why is that a big problem? God understands something. Once he tells you and you understand something clearly, you are responsible. People that don't understand the gospel, that's okay. Because their judgment is different. Scripture says, for judgment will start in the hands of God. So I want us to begin to look at it now. If anyone will make you to violate the word of God in the church, run away from them. Do you know Moses did not do anything personal to hurt God? Deuteronomy chapter 3 tells us that this man, he begged God, verse 23, he begged God and said, Father, let me enter. I'm close. I'm right at this Jordan. It's only this Jericho. It's nothing. 40 years we have been in this wilderness. I've been with them. Let me just get in there. I'm not asking for assets. I'm not asking to get a land. I'm not asking to get something. Let me just get there. So that I can enter it. God said, I understand your request, but here is my verdict. Because you have not honored me in the last time I talked to you, and you did this, please don't ask this question again. The only thing I will let you do is climb on Mount Pisgah, look right, east, left, and whatever, and that is it. Your eyes shall see it, but you will not step in there. Was God not very hard? Oh, yes. But God is always hard when he knows you understand the requirements. Why would God kill Nadab and Abihu? They didn't do something grievous. Some people will use this excuse. They have not killed somebody else. I have not thought. Yes, you have not. Think about it. Any man of God, woman of God that will come and reduce the glory of God before the people because they want to do something. So why? That's why personally, I don't like talking about men of God or women of God because the God that they talk about has a way of dealing with those people. Because if you reduce the glory of God before people, God will say, okay, I know what to do. Then it's going to really. And so anyone complaining about, this pastor is stealing money, this pastor is not doing this pastor, you know, you're trying to help God. Don't let us worry about that. for us. What do I need to do so that I will not offer strange fire? Please, you must understand the word of God and ask God to give you an obedient heart. Every vow is a commitment before God to do certain things. That's why the Bible says, do not be in a hurry to say, I want to give a vow. Remember Jephthah in the scriptures? Because when you make a vow before God and say, Father, if you do this, I will do this. God says, all right, you understand the requirement, you know what I'll do. All right, let's do this. And then when you want to bring your vow, you say, God, you understand, economy is tight, things are becoming very difficult. I thought I was going to get a raise. Even the job you have given me now, they are giving me stress in it. God will be like, I understand, but you remember the contract? And you say, God, yeah, you know, I said I was going to worship you before, but now I will do it only once a month. Trust me, I will make that once a month quality worship. God understands, but God knows better because it goes strictly by the vow. And I'm going to make it more stronger. Strange fire is when we intentionally bring before God substandard requirements. What is the quality of our prayers before God? Did you understand God asks you to do certain things? For instance, look at Christians. God asks us, everywhere you go, make sure you interact with other people. Encourage them to become Christians. We understand that, but because sometimes we are fearful, sometimes because we look at situations that I don't want anybody to disrespect me here. And then you begin to offer little things. You are not offering yourself completely. You're withdrawing or making a list. So let me throw this open. From this background information. Okay, let me read this so that I can throw that open. Let me read verse 3 and 4 and then we throw this open. Leviticus chapter 10 verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, immediately his children died, the two sons died. This is it that the Lord said, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come to me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron could not talk. And then Moses called the family members and said to them, come here near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So Nadab and Abihu actually died inside the tent of the tabernacle. How can anyone die doing the work of God? How can anyone be punished for doing the work of God? How can anyone get blamed for doing the work of God? It's not that God is an angry person. It's just that God is. And our outline introduction said that God can be merciful and loving and great, but he is still the same fiery, terrible, powerful, mighty God. In fact, if you read the rest of the story up to verse 7, instruction was very hard. He said, Aaron, don't even cry. Aaron, don't step out of the camp. Otherwise, you too will get in trouble. So my question, I throw this open. What are the things now that you see that are strange fire that believers actually offer before God? Offering must be to God. Yes. Strange fires. Things you think, application to our lives. Leviticus chapter 10 is our text, and we have been looking at do not offer strange fire. Yes, any thoughts? Okay, let me put it differently. What lessons can we learn from the death of Nadab and Abihu? Anything that we can learn from that? Yes, sir.
Number one thing I can see over there is that God has set up a standard of offering the way it should be done.
Correct.
But I believe they turn around and doing in their own way. So we can do the same thing. God say, that's how I want this one to be done. Because the number one thing I saw over there is by hearing God. If we don't hear God before we want to do something, we might be offered strange fire.
True.
God, we do everything and just involve God and say, okay, because he's good, that's how it should be done. That's mm-hmm. a house of God. That's the Christian life. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But if God have set up any boundary or something set up, that's the way I want it.
Yes.
And then we just turn around and copy people or do it the way we feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Thing can happen. Like
okay, so now let's do specific examples. What are the things that we do the way we want to do it? Even though God has said, this is how we should do it. Practical examples. Examples of God has said, this is how you should do it. But now, we choose to do some of those things the way we want to do it. Some examples.
I can pick one example from the Bible.
Okay. That applies to us now.
Yeah.
Okay.
When Saul on his way to Damascus, something happened, and God had to tell Ananias to go and pray for him.
Yes.
But I believe if it's we today, we went to pray for a brother and a miracle happened, you might think, ah, God choose me to be maybe evangelist and pastor, start to build a church. Yeah. But it might be just one day or one single assignment God just give it to you and that be all. If you continue to set up a church and say, ah, now I can lay hands on people, you might be offered a strange fire.
That is a very good example. And let's explore that in a minute. If God has used you one time because someone maybe at work or a friend asks you, say, oh, please pray along with me, and you just said your own quiet little prayer the way you say it, and then the person came by with serious testimony that I can't believe it, from that moment, 2 hours later, things started happening, and you said, hey, this is ministry here. And then you register the business name, you know, Tamokul and Tamokul Ministry, you know. And then you are beginning to do something, and you see that the first few weeks, the miracles are not coming forth. Then you start to do whatever it is to make things. Then just because you're trying to offer what God has not demanded. Of course, it's a great idea for you to think that you can do the work of God. But are you doing it the way God wants you to do it? Any other example that may come to mind? Yes.
Let me go straight to our offering, the real offering we give it today.
Physical money that
exactly.
We give. Okay.
Well, truly, the Bible recommends we should bring the tithe and the offering. So tithe, in my understanding, is different from offering. So otherwise, you give offering, or otherwise, you give both of them. Otherwise, you give and make, that's my tithe.
Mm-hmm.
But today, take my own example. I'm not, you know, judging anybody. You know, I just pay the way I feel or I see it or whatever comes in my mind.
Mm.
But regardless, what we are learning this morning is different. Otherwise, I say this is offering. So I don't pay my tithe. I know I want the Zub.
Praise God.
It's so better to bring everything. And so that's my tithe. And just face a different judgment by doing a right thing on the wrong place or whatever it is.
Praise God. You know, okay, sir, go ahead. I mean, the reason why I wanted to comment on that is the fact that it has always been controversial whether should we give tithe or not. For me, do you understand what a tithe is? Number two, do you know what God is asking for you to give? Number three, when you give anything at all, are you giving as the Lord asks you to give? You can look at every aspect of your life. Bible says, whatever you have been added unto, then bless. Okay, has God given you opportunity to? Of course, we always look at money. What about your time? So Some people, you offer more than, I don't know, 4 hours or 6 hours out of 40 hours in a week. That's tight, right? So when you look at someone that is volunteering and it's not bringing in cash, you're thinking, oh, he's not giving. But he's giving his time and his energy to the things of God. Yes. It's all about understanding what God is asking you to do. Do I understand what God is asking me to do? Am I giving it correctly? If someone does not understand it and is trying to, you know, many times the reason why we want to escape is because we feel the pain of inconvenience. And inconvenience is a different thing, but you could have just asked God and tell God, sir, I don't think I want to give you this. Then that would be a different conversation. But not giving and finding excuses and justifying and explaining away, and it's a different thing. And really, and I've heard that some, I know you've seen this before. It's a great thing to pray on the tithe in front of everybody in the church. It's a great thing. However, do you get the reward from the person? Or you get reward from the God that you give to? Because God sees. Do you know that Moses was not even there when Nadab and Abihu was offering? He wasn't there to say, oh, you are bringing bad stuff here. Because sometimes we are looking for someone to catch us. You say, if nobody sees me, oh, thank God, nobody in church sees what I'm doing. Thank God, pastor does not. Who is pastor? Pastor is just a guy or a woman that God is using, and God will judge by his own work. So Moses was not there to catch them. God basically said, all right, you violated what I said you shouldn't do, even though you might have had a clear understanding of what to do. You're not supposed to step to that line. We must be careful. Once we understand this thing, what is God asking me to give? Is God asking you to give your life? And you're giving halfway. Now, most Christians cannot commit to God. They want to say it. They want to try it. They want to wing it, you know, but we can't just commit to God. Let me read this, you know. I have just 10 minutes, so if we have questions, let's start preparing those questions so that we can answer them. Romans chapter 12. I think I started with that, but I didn't read it. Romans chapter 12. I beg you, therefore, brethren, from verse 1, by the mercies of God, see, it started with the mercies of God. That you present or offer your bodies as a sacrifice that is alive. Holy, and please make sure it is acceptable. How many times we offer unto God unacceptable sacrifices? If I do anything in church today, or even if I give a gift to someone grudgingly, oh, why do I have to do that anyways? It says, let it be acceptable. It says, that is a way you serve. It's a reasonable service. And then it went on to say, the will of God is that you do not do what the people of the world do, but change yourself through your mind, so that what you give will be acceptable, perfect will of God. When we offer things unto God, or we give things in the name of God, we understand what exactly God is asking us to do, but we choose to do halfway, one third, whatever way, that it's not what God is expecting. Does God have expectation? Oh, yes. When God gives you a gift, it's not throwing a gift into a random thing. He gives a gift. If we read the book of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, the gift that he gives is for the edification of the body. So God has given you a gift that you know how to organize events, and you are in church. And you see a lot of chaos in the church. And you're like, these people don't even know how to do it. And this is not my level. This is not my type. And God has given you and is expecting to offer unto him an offering acceptable, which is your gift. He's not asking you money now. And so if I start now, I won't be able to quit. People don't understand. They will step on my shoes and this and that and whatever. And you're like, offering, you say, okay, once in a while, I will casually observe and give my, I think we can just change this a little bit. Meanwhile, God is expecting that you step in, do whatever you need to do. And you know what? God is not a perpetual taskmaster. Once you have done, like you said, thank you very much for that scriptures. And Ananias was called upon to do something one time. Because sometimes we say, ah, God, if I go and lay my hands on Paul now, now you're going to be asking me every time to go everywhere. No, it's not asking you to go everywhere. No. Do whatever I ask you to do right now. Do it with all your heart, without reservation. Any other question? Offering unauthorized fire. Yes.
Okay, I know God charged everyone. That one is not a call. I know it's not a... that one is mandatory for everyone. Everyone who comes to acknowledge God, I think so our goal is to share this gospel. So are we going to say through what we learned today, that one also can be in authorized fire if we are not doing it?
Here's how I would put it. If we understand what God is asking us to do, and when we want to do it, we're not doing it the way we have understood it. God is not going to crucify you for what you have not learned or what you don't know. But I know that this person does not believe and is probably confessing some theory in life that does not, and you see, this person may not have understanding of the word of God. And you're there. And you try to seek opportunity to speak with a person. If there is no opportunity, of course, God is not going to kill you. God judges people by the opportunities. And you say, oh, no. And when you have the opportunity, you now say, I don't want to bring Jesus into this conversation. This guy is going to look at me like awkward. And you try to just, hey, you know, I'm also, I go to church, you know, and that's it. Should God accept what you have done as okay? Or just whatsoever God is laying in your heart at the time, encourage a person. Oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. And I have some understanding of scriptures. If you don't mind, let's talk about it. Of course, the person can reject it. It's not your responsibility to let the person be saved. Your responsibility to share the word. Offer it completely, wholly, in an acceptable way. We are always afraid that, oh, you know what? Salvation is not a business name that anyone carries around that, oh, you must sell it. People feel, oh, if I, someone would not brand me and tag me as, oh, you know, too spiritual a person. Of all the people that we see in scripture that God specifically gave tasks to, God only asked them to do what he asked them to do. He didn't ask extra. So for me, we may not call it strange fire, but you see, the word strange there is what made King James Version to make it look. If you read the other version, it says unauthorized. Something that you understand clearly what it should be. But then you removed a little bit from it, or you've added more to it, and you present it as a real one. Think of it as counterfeit. Think of it as something that does not meet the standard that is expected. What is the standard of a contact between a non-believer and a believer? What is the standard of conversation? You're beginning to start strange fire if you are speaking like an unbeliever just because you want to be like an unbeliever. Of course, scripture demands that you stay with unbelievers. But then, if your conversation cannot in any way show for the completeness of what you know, if it's only one scripture you know, say that one scripture. That's it. Say it in a nice way. You don't have to tell people, oh, you go to hell, whatever, or you will die in your sin. That is judgment. You're only passing judgment now. That's not. But you should just bring your offering. Here is where I want to kind of say clearly. Anything that you offer unto God in the name of God, once you understand it and you do it in less than the way God demands, is a strange fire. Be it offering in money, be it offering in service, be it your commitment, be it in relationship, be it in your business, whatever it is unauthorized or less than required gift. Because remember, why fire? What is the meaning of the fire? It means you have surrendered that thing to be taken into the courtyard. And therefore, that thing should be offered completely. So, think about it. That was actually the story about Malachi that we usually read today about tithe and offering and everything. It says, will you give a blind goat to your governor? He said, but some people have started bringing blind goats. They look at all the animals and see the one that has serious problem. And they say, oh, I need to give my offering unto God now. And look for the one that is one leg is almost gone and is filled with disease and whatever. I say, that one is good enough. Is God demanding something that is just one of the last things? Or give me a gift. Make it a good one. Let it come from your heart. Someone that gives $1,000 in church or $2,000 in church with a grudge, with a feeling of, oh, I'm doing it so that I can just make sure. God does not accept such a thing. Even if you go above. See, that's another problem with that. If you go beyond what is, as long as it's not what God is requiring. Someone may want to proclaim the name of God and start exaggerating. For instance, people that always say, oh, miracle, 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 you're deceiving people. Because God doesn't just operate by miracles. So if you say, oh, don't, God must show up. God is always miracle, this and that. Fine. The person will come in. Wait for one day, there's no miracle. Second day, no miracle. Third day, no miracle. Say, this God does not exist anymore. And then the person begins to get into this spiral of not understanding God, not believing God. Have you honored God? Have you given complete offering of that message? Of course. This teaching is meant for those that have learned the way of God and are serving before the Lord. Because this was meant for the priests, the high priest, the Levites. Don't offer strange fire before the Lord. How can we get around this? Or what can we do so that we won't get into this? Number one. Understand scriptures. There is no other way but to understand the scriptures. If you understand scriptures, anyone can pressure you into doing something strange, you will reject it. Whenever you have opportunity to teach, do not teach heresy. Because a lot of people are too confused today about Jesus and the plan of salvation and what God has in mind to do because of heresy. Because you want to make God look cool and say some things that are not really clear and understanding about God. Tell people the nature of God. This God is powerful and yet it's a jealous God. You say, ah, if I say God is jealous now, they will think he's a man, therefore people will not believe. Why are you trying to defend the scriptures? Say it, let people believe. Understand the word of God. If you don't understand it, there is no other way around it. You're going to make mistakes. Someone is going to try to just push something out of you. Offering must be total and whole. It becomes strange when we dilute it with our own theory. You know how many of us, we have many strange doctrines. We may think we are in the same church, but we have so many strange doctrines. As in absolutely strange doctrines. About life after life, about forgiveness, about blessings, about gift, about every area of our life, we have our own theory that is, and by the time you are talking to someone else, the person will think he's talking to a Christian brother, and then you begin to put your own philosophy into the heart of the person. And the person will be more confused than he's even met you. One prayer I've prayed to God is, Lord, let me never say a word that will confuse the person that will hear me. Instead of me speaking, Lord, let me not be able to speak at that time. Because you have no understanding of the judgment of God. I see God as a God that is too great to mess with. By any means or any standard. It's merciful, it's great, it's powerful. But yet, our lives can misrepresent God. If you see one brother that's been serving God and everybody believes in that brother, let that brother make some silly mistake. I will mislead so many people. We've heard of, Reverend Eddie Long. Just one scandal of, sleeping with another boy. Many people withdraw from world following God. Just one thing. Oh, yes, it's a mistake, I understand. Yeah. But then your life that you are presented to God is no longer holy. Not completely offered unto God. That is now a strange fire. The body itself. Because it says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, that is acceptable. If your life is having some question mark, Bible says, and this, I know we're always guilty in this, when we talk, our conversations, let God come out of you every time. Let God come out of you every time. Because what ruined the destination, or at least the end of Moses, was pretty much the fact that he wanted to give a small speech before the miracle. Please don't give any small speech when God is asking you to do certain things. Even though when you feel angry about it, don't give a small speech. Don't say, you people, you have been rebellious. Should we make water to come out of the rock? You've never done any of these miracles before. It has been God through the hand of Aaron, and you speak. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know how easily we can get into such conversations? People speak, use F word, S word, N word, all kinds of words. And the days we don't even use it, we permit it freely in our heart. And when we see someone that is actually, because really the projection of the words are basically the things that might have corrupted the heart. Jesus told the people, it's not the food you eat that destroys the heart and mind. It's what comes out of it. And if the heart is already being messed with, everything that comes out of it must be purified. How? Through our interaction. When we offer things, let's offer them wholly unto God. God is a beautiful, wonderful God. Do not let our bodies, our lives, our families be a strange offering before God. I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Any other question? Otherwise, we'll pray and then we'll start the service right away. Shall we rise on our feet this morning? I have specific prayer points, just a few prayer points as we're going to start the service. I want us to pray before God today. Say, Father, help me to understand your word. The Bible says the word of God is like a lamp that will illuminate our path. And will help also that we will not grope about in darkness. Many believers don't understand scriptures. They understand it by hearing. They are familiar with it, but they don't understand the truth of it. I want you to pray and say, Father, give me an understanding of your word. Remember the eunuch. He said, I read the book of Isaiah over and over. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I, except someone explains to me? And Jesus said, I give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to explain to you the truth of God, to remind you of the word of God, to expand the mind of God unto you. I want you to pray today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit expound your truth in my heart. Without the word of God, we will make judgment by carnal wisdom. If you want to ask your brother and sister or uncle or anyone around you to give you opinion, people have plenty of opinions. And I tell you the truth, from those counsels, you will feel more comfortable. But I tell you, except that which God has revealed to you, you will not be able to do the right. I wanted to pray and say, Father, give me an understanding of your word. The Bible says, if anyone lack wisdom, the book of James, let him ask God. And God is willing, generous, able to give wisdom to everyone so that you can make decisions that are appropriate at the right time. I wanted to pray and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Wisdom, God, to obey you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Many times we always want to bribe God with something afterwards, but I want you to know that God loves when you do things straight from your heart, honestly. I want you to pray, Father, give me a heart, God, that is yielding to your word. Give me a heart, God, that is obedient to you. Lord, teach me your word. Create in me a new heart, God. Maybe your heart has been seared by iron because of the things of life. I want you to pray and say, Lord, create in me a new heart. Create in me a new heart. He says, for the heart of stone, I will turn to that of flesh. I want you to pray every rocky area of your heart that the word of God has been bouncing off before. I want you to pray and say, Lord, let my heart become, oh God, a ground that will accept your word. So that I can yield and be obedient to you. So that my life now I can offer unto you as a living sacrifice. Pray to God this morning because it is very important. Not that we only serve physically, because those of us that even say we serve, we can be judged hard if we act outside that which God asks us to act. Nadab and Abihu thought they were doing something right and appropriate, but they were killed just because God said, I'm not glorified by you doing this. I wanted to pray and say, Lord, help me to understand my place in your assignment. Because if I thought, oh, I'm the GO now, I'm beginning to tell people about hard things, that is not my role, that is not my authority. I wanted to pray, Lord, that which you have given me, the gift and the calling, I know it's specific and it's used for a specific thing. Lord, help me to operate in that alone in the name of Jesus. Let me not to be presumptuous. Bible talks about presumptuous sins. You assume something and you do it because you think that is how it should be done. I want you to pray, Father, help me. Because it may be tantamount to offering strength fire before God. I want you to pray for a spirit of humility. Because if Nadab and Abihu had asked Moses or the father, Aaron, they would have said, Church, should we use this or not? How can we do this? And maybe they would have been spared. But this was meant for a lesson for us. I want us to pray and say, Lord, help me, O God, so that I will be able to yield myself to every authority of every form. Because the Bible says that we have always placed under authority. And the most important authority is that of God. I wanted to pray this last prayer. Lord, help me to continually yield to your authority. Many times we disobey God easily. Many times we reject the word of God because we want to do what we want to do. Many times we refuse the counsel of the scriptures. Because we think in ourselves we know better than God. I want you to pray today. Father, help me. Help me. Because anything you do after, even to touch me, the way, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, I cannot do anything by myself but by your Spirit. Lord, I have come to church today to be blessed by your word, to be reproved by your word, to be chastised by your word. To be transformed by your word. To be uplifted by your word. Father, speak to me the engrafted word that is able to save my soul. Lord, let your word transform my heart. Ask God today that you will not miss out on the blessings of God. According to Genesis chapter 12, it says, for God has commanded his blessings on the day that he has appointed, the Sabbath day. I want you to pray and say, Lord, let your commanded blessing, let those blessings rest upon me this morning. Let your commanded blessing rest upon me this morning. Father, I've come to your presence. Let your blessing rest upon me, O God. Father, we thank you. I sing praises to your name. O Lord, praises to your name. O Lord. To strengthen me, to come alive in me. Lord, I have come to be blessed by your word today. Speak to me, O God. Let your name be glorified.